God's game plan for the real championship. You know, it's always been amazing to me that with whatever sport it is, they have a championship every year. With boxing, it may be every 2 months they've got another championship. With some of these things, it's always a new champion, a new champion. Now, the great thing about being a Christian is when we become a champion, we can remain a champion. Of course, like with those others, we do have to constantly defend ourselves against Satan and his attempts to destroy us. I want to mention, as we get into this lesson, under the introduction there, we have metaphors and similes. And these are things that are often used to compare spiritual things with physical things so that we can more clearly understand them. A lot of Jesus' parables begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And he begins then he tells a story about something. And so we use these things. Paul uses some metaphors to describe the Christian life. He talks about running a race. He talks about running and competing in the games according to the rules. He talks about one that beats the air, like fighting, you know, boxing type thing. So we see these things all through Scripture. So it shouldn't surprise us then that many times preachers today do the same thing. They take something that's commonly understood in culture, and they try then to make some spiritual applications to those particular things. And that's what we want to do tonight, because as I've been told, there is some sort of sporting event going on somewhere tonight. I don't know, tennis or something, I think. Bowling? Is it bowling? And you know, we do have to keep in mind that the proper focus and the proper importance of things. It's easy for us to get too caught up in things that are not really very important. The fact of the matter is, when we think about football games, even those who are really into it probably couldn't tell me who won 10 years ago, or even probably 5 years ago. And sometimes I hear people arguing about who won last year. Of course, they're always arguing about who's going to win this year. But they can't even remember who won last year sometimes. And these are folks that they thought it was great, but they forget that quickly. These are not things that are eternal. They're very temporary. And they pass away very quickly. So sometimes we get caught up in these things and we make a big deal out of them. And in a month, most people will have forgotten it. They will have forgotten all about it. So we need to remember that it's not that serious a matter. I know that sometimes people say of football, they say, well, you know, some people believe that, give the name of their favorite team, that particular sport is a matter of life or death, but we know it's much more important than that. And they'll say things like that about that particular sporting event or that particular game. We hear sometimes people say things. I saw a t-shirt one time that talked about football, and it talked about, oh, out west, football's a game, and up north, it's a sport, and it's all these things. But they said, down here in the south, it's a religion. And I'll tell you the truth, I think for a lot of people, it is a religion. Some people think much more highly of sports than they do of anything to do with the Bible or God. And so we need to keep in mind to keep things in their proper perspective. And whatever those events may be, they're not going to matter. I enjoyed the article Dolores brought everybody a copy of, I think, after Alabama won the college game here last month. And about Colt McCoy, who's a member of the church, and how he's a champion, even though his team didn't win, he's a champion because he himself is the kind of person that he ought to be. And that sometimes gets lost in sports. We look up to these guys as heroes for kids, and yet some of these guys are living atrocious lives. They're not the kind of people that we should be teaching our boys to look up to. They're the kind of people that we need to be teaching our boys and girls to not be like and to stay away from. And so we need to keep that in mind and not idolize. And I know we use that term, he's my idol. Sometimes we get that a little too literally, and we really do begin to worship those people, or we worship that sport instead of God, and that's a problem. But in God's game plan for the real championship, God wants us to run, throw, kick, catch, pass, tackle, defend, avoid penalties, watch the turnover ratio, think about the goal. We've got timeouts and halftime and score and win. So let's look. He wants us to run. I know in football, running is very important. But he wants us to run away from the sins that are trying to tackle us. All of us have some sins that are just out to get us. And we struggle with them, and they will knock us down. They'll tackle us and put us out of the game if we're not careful. We need to run away from some of those sins. The Bible tells us, flee youthful lusts and flee fornication. There are some sins that we just don't need to go up and try to confront. We need to just run away from them. And we need to remember to do that when the time is right. Then we need to throw off all hindrances. You know, one of the greatest things to see in a football game is when a receiver, a running back, somebody who has the ball is running down the field and somebody's trying to tackle and they just throw them off and keep going. And you know, wow, look what they did. They wouldn't stop. They kept going. Well, we need to be that way. There are things in life that are going to try to hinder us from running the Christian race, that are going to try to hinder us from making it to heaven. And we need to throw those things off. Just shrug them off one shoulder and the other and let them bounce off of us. Not let them get a grip on us, because they'll pull us down. Most sports enthusiasts will tell you that the kicking game is very important. And it's true in the Christian life too. Kicking is a very important part of Christian life. We need to kick bad habits. We've got to kick those bad habits. It's so easy to just say, well, I've always done this, and you know, I'm too old to change, and I can't change, or whatever. We've got to kick those bad habits. We can't let them remain in our lives. But then the fourth thing we notice there is that we need to catch. You know, one of the saddest things is when, you know, the ball comes to somebody and they drop it. And they should have caught it. And it would have made all the difference if they'd have caught the ball. Well, in the Christian life, we need to catch all of God's blessings. And so many times we miss so many of them. We're not paying attention. And they sail right past us and we don't even notice. We need to catch His blessings. We need to be ready and looking for those blessings so that we can receive them when they come. We need to catch His blessings. We need to pass as well. You know, running's good. We need to run away from the right things. But then we've got to do some passing. We talked about this predominantly this morning. That was our theme. We need to pass the word to others. If the quarterback keeps the ball all the time in a game of football, that team is going to lose. I don't care how good he is. He better not just hang on to that ball. They'll start to know that he's going to have the ball every time, and they'll get him, and they'll hurt him. And his team will lose. He's got to pass that on to somebody else and let them have a chance to get away. So we've got to pass the word on to others. We can't just keep hanging on to it. We've got to keep passing it along. Well, that's the offensive side of the ball. Now let's move over to the other side, the defensive side. We've got to tackle problems. You know, sometimes we are so anti any type of conflict that might come up that we're afraid to deal with a problem. And we will let things go until we just can't stand it anymore. We won't tackle the problem when we need to tackle it. When a problem first arises, it's a little problem and it's pretty easy to tackle. But oh, once it gets growing and gets going, it's hard to tackle those problems when they get that big. Same thing in football. It's much easier to tackle that running back before he gets going. Once he gets his speed up and he's got his legs churning and he's got his shoulder down, and then you run into him and he'll knock you off. But if you can tackle him when he's just getting going, before he gets up a full head of steam, you can stop him. And the same, we need to tackle those things right at the first. Don't let them become bigger problems. Take care of it right away. And then we need to defend the faith. We need to defend our faith. The Bible tells us that we need to always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks the reason for the hope that's within us. Jude tells us that we are to be contending for the faith. The faith is important. Notice he didn't just say for whichever faith you happen to have. He said the faith. There's only one, and we've got to defend that one faith. The Bible itself will defend itself pretty well, and the faith that's revealed therein will be able to defend itself pretty well if we will only allow it to do so. But we've got to be willing and able to pull those scriptures out and share them and defend the faith whenever necessary. In every game, you have to avoid penalties. In the Christian life, the penalties are the same thing that they are in any game. Penalties just simply breaking the rules. In the Christian life, breaking the rules we call sin rather than penalties. But it's the same thing. We've broken some of the rules by which we're supposed to be playing the game, by which we're supposed to be competing. And we break the rules. That's a sin. We've got to avoid those penalties. We've got to avoid the sin. That sin that so easily entangles us. There are many games that are lost at all levels and in all kinds of sports because someone broke the rules. Sometimes entire seasons have to be forfeited because they broke the rules. We don't want to get to the day of judgment and find that our entire Christian life has been forfeited because we were breaking the rules. We want to abide by God's rules. And guess what? He's got a rule book. Just like the NFL or the NBA or Major League Baseball or any other sport, they've got a rule book. It's what you can do and what you can't do. God has one too. We need to read it, study it, know what the rules are, and then avoid penalties. In competitive games like football, they speak of something called the turnover ratio. And that, for those that aren't really into football, that one's a little hard to explain. But basically, if one team's got the ball, they want to keep the ball until they score. If the other team can take the ball away from them, they call that a turnover. So if we've got a turnover, whoever gets the ball away from the other team more is doing a better job. But when we think about our turnover ratio as Christians, it needs to be 100%. It needs to be everything in our life turned over to God. That's got to be 100% turnover ratio. We can't say, well, there's a song, and I don't know if it's in our these songbooks or not, but I know it was in the old green ones we had. It starts out, all of self and none of thee. And then it says, well, some of self and some of thee. And then, less of self and more of thee. And then finally, the fourth verse, he says, oh, higher than the highest heavens, when finally I submitted myself to Jesus and I said, all of thee, none of self, and all of thee. That's the kind of turnover ratio that we need to have as Christians. Everything that at one point belonged to the devil because we were serving him needs to be turned over to God so that we can serve him instead. And then, of course, the goal is a very important thing. The goal line. Oh, that's the most important line on the field in football. Well, we need to press toward the right goal. Paul spoke of that in Philippians. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal. We need to have a goal. The most obvious goal? Goal. Now, along the line in a football game, they get the ball and they have to go 10 yards to get a first down. And that's their short-term goal. Their long-term goal, of course, is to get to that goal line and score. But the short-term goal is to get to the... We need to have some short-term goals, too, and we need to press toward that goal. And then when we achieve that goal, then we need to move on to another goal. And if we achieve that one, then move to the next one, and so on, until we reach that final goal of making heaven our home. But we've got to press toward the goal, because it won't happen by accident. When we took the boys to Tuscaloosa last weekend, and they played football, and it was cold. Oh, and wet. But one of the mistakes that they made, that I warned them about on the way up there, and I think a lot of people do when the coaches do warn, don't run forward. Don't run back and forth across, and don't ever run backwards. Keep going forward. And yet I guarantee you, if you watch the game tonight, someone at some point during that game will get the ball and they'll run away from their goal, thinking they're going to outrun everybody. Thinking they're going to be able to circle around. And sometime it might work. It's happened occasionally that it works. But most of the time, they'll lose ground. When they run across side to side, or they run back the wrong way, we've got to keep going forward. We need to remember that God, when He describes our armor, there's not any on the backside. He didn't design the Christian to retreat. If we're retreating, we better watch out because we've got our bare back turned to the enemy. If we're going forward, we've got all this armor, the breastplate, the helmet, the loins and legs and feet shod and everything. We've got all of that. But if we turn our back, we're in trouble. So we need to be sure we're pressing toward the right goal. And then there are timeouts. We need to use our timeouts wisely. It's a sad thing, and I've seen it happen, where a team actually ran out of time and lost a game, and they still had their timeouts. They never used them. That's a sad thing. In the Christian life, we live in a world that is fast-paced and busy constantly. We need to take time out. We need to call time out for ourselves to spend some time with God. I don't mean take time out to watch something on TV or take time out to read the newspaper or read a book or a magazine or something like that. No, no. I mean take time out to spend some time with God. It's one of the things that Jesus did an awful lot of. He took time out to be with His Father. And we need to take time out for that too. The good news about it is, in these games, they'll only get three timeouts per half. That'll be all they got. We can take as many as we want to take in the Christian. We can call time out whenever we need to take time out to spend with God. And we need to do that. And we need to use half times wisely. We need to use half times to reevaluate and make some adjustments. The teams tonight will probably do that. Game's half over, they take a break, They both go in there. They say, well, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What do we need to change? Well, we need to do that too periodically. We need to look back at our lives and how it's gone for a period of time and say, you know, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? What can I do better? What can I improve? What do I need to change? We can do that. We may need to do it once a week or once a month. Maybe more often or less particular thing in our life that's going on. But we need to evaluate and make some changes, make the adjustments that we need to make so that we can do better the next time out. Then, of course, the purpose of the game is to score. Now, you can play hard all day long, but if you don't score, you can't win. No team has ever won if they didn't score. And we need to score as well. But what we've got to realize is that we need to score points with God, and we need to score points for God. We're not out there to score points for ourselves, to make a show. That's not the reason we're about this thing. You see, sometimes with the sports stars, they get a little cocky. They get a little arrogant, and they start showboating. They start making it all about them, and they start trying to do fancy stuff and show off so the fans will cheer them. And a lot of times that's when they make their biggest mistakes. A basketball player will go in for a fancy dunk and miss because he was showing off. Football player, and one of these happened in one of the Super Bowls years ago, will have the ball and just think he's got it made and start to show off before he gets to the end zone, and somebody will come, and as that case, in that particular case, somebody came and knocked the ball away from him and he didn't get to score. When we start thinking it's all about us and we start showing off and expecting people to applaud us and pay attention to me and I'm so great, when we do that, we miss. And we miss out on what the point is. We're supposed to score for God. And we can only score with God, not on our own. And then the last thing there, of course, is to win. We need to win it all. If we win every once in a while, that's not too good. Even if we win more often than we lose, well, there's still a lot of room for improvement there. We want to win it all. To have any losses. One of the things that was very odd to me this year was watching these two teams that are actually in the championship game and watching them go through the season. They were both undefeated up till about three games till the end. And when one of them lost a game, the other one quit playing. And the last two games of the season, they rested all their starters. They weren't trying to win anymore. That seems kind of odd, doesn't it? To just quit trying to win. Well, they were resting up for those playoffs. And I guess in that particular case, it worked pretty good for them. They're in the Super Bowl. But in our Christian lives, that won't work. We have got to go out to win every day. We can't say, well, you know, oh, boy, the devil was tough on me yesterday, but I beat him yesterday, so today I'm going to relax and I'm going to let him have this day. Hey, we can't do that. We have to win it all. We have to win every day. You know, there are a lot of things in this life that we do, that we enjoy, and God wants us to have enjoyment in this life as long as it's good, clean fun. But whatever we're doing, we need not ever take our focus off the fact that our goal is to win it all and make it to heaven. We've got to keep that number one. Every day, that has to be everything that we're thinking about, everything that we're doing has to be heading us in that right direction. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not heading in the right direction. You're not even on the right team. You can't win if you're not on the team. You won't get a crown, which is the equivalent of that Super Bowl ring that they're playing for tonight. You won't get the crown in heaven if you're not on the team. Because you're playing for the devil and he's going to lose. You can play for God. You can get on the right team. God has open signing day. Every day. He will sign you up any day, every day, all day long. If you will believe that Jesus is the Son of God and repent of your sins, if you'll confess Him as the Son of God and be willing to submit yourself to be baptized to wash your sins away, you can join. You can be added to His team. He'll hire you. He'll sign you on. Put you to work. If you're here and you are a Christian, but you have a need to respond to the invitation because you haven't been playing like you should, maybe you haven't been playing according to the rules. You've been getting some of those penalties we talked about. Or maybe you're not playing to your fullest potential. I remember reading about one particular player. A young player came in to play, and an older, more mature player would say, "You know, sometimes it doesn't seem like, I think you could play better than you do." He said, "Ah, well, I play good enough. I do good enough." Is it good enough? Good enough's not good enough. Do your best. Give it all you've got. Maybe you hadn't been doing that. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.